Hey, before we get started, I just want to let you know that this is a two-part series with ESPN and SEC Network analyst Lauren Sisler. You can catch part one wherever you're listening to this. Thank you for listening. Let's get back to Lauren. So what were some of the things that you learned from that first job working with CBS here in Birmingham?
I mean, I think a lot of the things I learned from that were just the fact that, it's a local TV network and you really are just learning more of the foundation of television. But, you know, it is a mid-major market and getting to learn how college football really resonates here in this state. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is learning the culture of where we're at, you know, the culture of Alabama and the culture of college football here in the state. And I think that's really what it kind of taught me. It taught me more about the people and what drives people. Because in our industry, we operate on what the fans want. So what are people watching? What are they viewing? What are they consuming? And how are they consuming it? So that's a big part of our job is figuring out the metrics and what's important to people and what do they love to do. And so, I think it's really cool because, I think that working at CBS 42 and kind of taking that path definitely helped me to learn so much about this state. And honestly, I never expected to be here I've been here since 2011. I never expected to be here almost a decade. And a decade later, I'm saying, hey, this is home. You know, I love it here in Alabama. And really, my fiance and I have no intent on leaving and going anywhere else at this point. So we've really had a lot of fun and enjoy it. And you know, just thankful for all the people and all the relationships that we've built along the way.
So how then did you make that jump from working in local television into being someone who works for really regional and nationally known television in AL.com, ESPN, SEC Network? Can you kind of talk about what that transition was like?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different world. There's no way to really prepare for it when they tell you, okay, you're going to go out and be a sideline reporter for a football game. Like, there's no way to truly, like, practice for that. And so you're kind of thrown into the fire. And, you know, I got my first opportunity in October of 2016 for an Auburn football game. And there was a lot of things I didn't know and a lot of things I'd gotten some advice from various reporters. Laura Rutledge was one of the first people I called up and said, girl, I need some help. How do I handle this? What do I do? And she said, well, here's a list of all the things I wish someone would have told me. And so that was really helpful and just making that transition. But, I was able to, hire someone that as an agent that was able to kind of help me piece together a resume tape and basically kind of, shop me around, if you will, kind of recruit. You know, it's kind of like being recruited, to various networks. But obviously the connections that she had to ESPN and SEC Network certainly helped. And, just kind of using all the tools and resources and obviously experience that I'd gotten at CBS 42 and then, of course, AL.com and being able to use that to make that transition to the network. There's no real clear path as to how people make that jump from local TV to the network. It's different for everyone. And, I'm just thankful that somebody saw something in me that they thought would be, would fit well on the network. And certainly I've grown a lot in that time. I mean, I was green, very green. I mean, even to this day, I mean, I still have so much that I can grow and learn from. And I just see such a great progression from where I was just a few years ago to where I am now in terms of my skill set and abilities and just my own comfort level, being comfortable in my own skin and feeling like I can get out there and perform at a high level and, have fun while doing it.
So obviously in your time being with ESPN and being with the SEC Network, you've had the opportunity to be around a lot of very well-known people, people like Nick Saban, Gus Malzahn, Charles Barkley. Can you kind of talk about what it feels like to be around people like that who are so well-known? Does that faze you at all?
No, I mean, it's one of those things where I think that there is a level of like starstruck or intimidation when you first start working around these very high profile personalities, just it's unique, it's different, and I think that's what you learn, is you do learn the personalities, and that's half the battle, is kind of understanding how certain people operate and how they go about their business. And once you kind of learn those things and the intricacies of how a coach likes to handle business, or a player, or an athlete, or a program, you start to kind of learn the personality of that program and sort of know how to handle situations, you know, when it's a touchy subject, or, you know, when you want to bring out somebody's personality, how do you do that? And that's something that you really, it's definitely part of the skill set that you have to learn as a broadcaster. And so, you know, honing in on that skill is very, very key and critical in this industry. And so, you know, I think there is that level of intimidation and being a little bit starstruck early on, but, you know, you kind of grow into it and sort of realize, like, hey, they're just like us. And, you know, they wake up in the morning and brush their teeth and put on clothes and go to work. And so it's just that realization through the process. And, you know, it's just fun to meet different personalities and people that, you know, are at the top of their game and the very best in the business. You learn a lot from them, too.
So I know one of your must-watch interviews was between Barkley and Saban. How did you go about facilitating that interview?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of interesting. I was at dinner one night with a group of friends, and Charles Barkley was there, and we were having a conversation, and he made a comment about Nick Saban being one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the game, and that, you know, even though he's an Auburn guy, he will fully admit that Nick Saban is just a mastermind of football. And I asked him if he had ever met him before, and he said, I've met him in passing, but we've never really had a lot of communication. And I said, well, what do you think about doing like an interview with him? And he said, well, if you set it up, I'll do it. And, you know, I made the call to Alabama's folks and talked to their SID, and they made it happen, and we brought them together, and the rest was history. And I just think it was a very organic, authentic type of interview. Not a lot of planning went into it. We just let Charles do his thing, ask his questions, do what he wanted to do, and that's kind of what we got from it. So it was really cool, and it was something that both of them both truly respected and appreciated. And I think that's what was so great about it, is that both of them have now kind of developed a relationship that they didn't have before, and, you know, have been able to use that. You know, Charles has gotten to go speak at Alabama and talk to the players, and you know, it's just developed a relationship with Nick Saban that he didn't have before. And I think there's a mutual respect there for both of them and what they've been able to accomplish in both of their careers. And so it's just kind of a lot of fun to see. And, you know, I think for me, it's just great to see relationships like that blossom, you know, based on like a little concept that you're able to take to another level.
Is there any goal in your career that you're striving to get to at this point, or do you feel fairly content about where you are in your career right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, I'm really content with where I'm at right now, because I think that, you know, I think it's easy to get caught up in sort of the glamour of television and sort of the glamour of being at that next level and, you know, being high on the social media chain, and obviously, you know, being able to reach as many people as possible. But, you know, honestly, there was a time where I kept saying, oh, I want to grow. I want to be bigger. I want to get to the next level. But honestly, I've just gotten so, you know, I guess kind of taken a step back and really realized, like, you know, I've worked really hard to get to where I am. And there are people that work just as hard, if not harder, to get to where they're at. And, you know, I just take a step back, and I'm just so grateful and thankful to be where I'm at. And, you know, everybody's top level or dreams and aspirations stop at a different level. And there's, you know, I don't even like to say level, because I think everybody's ceiling is different, and everybody's dreams and aspirations are different, no matter what career field they're in. And I think that, you know, it's so important to kind of take a step back. And, you know, Nick Saban uses this quote all the time, be where your feet are, because I think it's so easy to get consumed at what next. And I think for a long time I was kind of doing that, like, oh, what next? When is this going to happen? When am I going to make it to the next level? When am I going to get this, that, and the other? And I'm not focusing on the journey, and obviously focusing more on the destination. And I think that's why, you know, I've kind of learned, like, just pump the brakes, take it in, embrace it. Life happens, things happen, and you know, you've got to be ready for those challenges along the way. But, you know, right now I'm very content with where I'm at. And really, I just want to keep getting better. I want to grow and become a better, you know, broadcaster, but also just a better person and, you know, a better contributor, more of a contributor to our community and to, you know, what the things that matter in life.
So taking a little sidestep here away from your professional and work life, you're getting married soon. Can you kind of talk about what that whole process has been like for you?
Well, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed that process. John and I got engaged December of, I guess, 2018. And so we've been engaged for a year and a half now. And, you know, as the conditions have kind of arisen with the coronavirus, it's made it a little bit trickier. And obviously, you know, we're all kind of having to put our lives on hold right now because we've got to do what's best for our communities and best for everyone around us. And that's to practice the social distancing and the washing of the hands and just really being distant from people and working from home and staying at home. You know, so that's been a big challenge for us because we've now had to make a decision to kind of postpone our wedding because, you know, we aren't going to be able to have the wedding that we had hoped for and with the amount of people and family and friends we wanted there to celebrate. And so we're just going to put things on hold and sort of wait for things to, you know, improve in terms of our conditions within our country. And once that happens, then we can start making plans for the future and what's next.
Now, something I have also noticed about you is that you tend to be pretty open about your faith. How does that affect you in your day-to-day life?
Yeah, I mean, my faith is obviously a big part of my life and sort of my walk with Christ and my spiritual journey. I mean, that's been a big part of my story and the evolution. You know, when I was in my darkest of days, I found myself at times wanting to stray away from God, and that's when I needed him most. And I was the person that, you know, when things would get tough in the Sisler household, I'd wake up and, oh, come on, let's go to church. Like, you know, God's going to make this better, and we just got to trust in him and lean into our faith and whatnot. But, you know, challenging times, you know, sometimes you find yourself straying away. And I'll say, you know, just meeting my fiance, John, and really just finding the purpose in life and finding that God-given purpose has been a big part of sort of my story. And I think it's been a big reason I've been able to sort of take, you know, maybe tragic circumstances and do something positive with it. And I think that it's just made a big difference in how I've responded to things and really how my life has kind of taken a different course than maybe it could have or would have had I have gone down a different path and allowed things to control me and, you know, really allowed my faith to take a back seat. And so I think it's just been a big part of who I am. And, you know, one quote that I love that Nick Saban used at a speaking engagement once that I really loved hearing is he said, do you wake up every morning? When you wake up, do you pray to be blessed or do you pray to bless others? And I just love that because I think it's so important that sometimes we kind of take a step back from our own world, our own insecurities, our own challenges, and realize that we're all going through something. And if there's something we can do in our lives to really help other people and show other people sort of the light and show them sort of, you know, the way to faith and the way to God, like, it's amazing. And it truly is a blessing to be able to see that and kind of live out that journey. And so I'm far from there, and obviously my spiritual journey continues to grow, and I'm just thankful for the people that are around me that support me and, you know, have helped me to grow in my spiritual faith and spiritual journey. And, you know, I look forward to the road ahead and to see where, you know, things will take me and, you know, my family.
So you're someone that, obviously, being able to work for someone like ESPN, being able to work on the SEC network, you would be someone that at least a lot of people would consider to say successful. And what do you feel like has been the key to the success that you've had so far?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. The key to success, I mean, I think it's really obviously hard work, determination, you know, that mindset of never giving up. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop no matter what. Everything, you know, is right here before you. And I just think that, you know, not allowing life circumstances to define you. I think that we all have an opportunity to sort of write our own books, be the author of our own book. And I say this a lot. I love this, you know, I kind of love this saying, like, you know, fall in love with your story. Like, take ownership of your story. And there's going to be good chapters. There's going to be bad chapters. There's going to be chapters you're going to want to tear out of that book and fall up and throw in the trash. But, you know, I think that's been a big part of my journey, is just being open and being transparent with people and vulnerable and, you know, just owning my story. And again, far from perfect and far from, you know, where I could be or want to be, but, you know, I still have so many things I can grow and learn from. But I think just having that transparency and being vulnerable and really just falling in love with my story and, you know, all the bumps in the road and every pothole that I've hit along the way is all part of that story, and not, you know, hiding from that, not shying away from it, because ultimately that's where you grow and that's where you take negative things and turn them into strengths. And I guess that's probably been maybe the key to my success. You know, but I guess sometimes it's hard for me to say success. I you know, I guess it's different for everyone, but, you know, it's been a big key in helping me to put one foot in front of the other and to continue moving forward despite the challenges that our life, you know, that all of us are going to face in our lifetime at some point.
So my last question to you here before we go, what would be your message to those who are wanting to follow in your path to become a successful sports broadcaster, to become someone who has not only a successful work life, but a personal life? What would be your message to those people?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, for me, the one thing I want to encourage people is to, as I said, fall in love with your story. Everyone has a different path to how they get places, and it's so easy to get consumed in comparing yourself to other people. And I think that we live in a world of social media that comparisons become sort of the root. They become the epicenter of our daily lives, making those comparisons. Well, this person has this, and they're posting all these pictures, but keep in mind, you are seeing the highlights of someone's life. You're seeing all the highlights, but what about the low light? What about the things in between? You're seeing 1 second or 10 seconds of somebody's life on an Instagram feed. You know, so I would say that number one, the comparison, you got to stop the comparison. You know, you got to take ownership of your life and your path and your journey. Sure, I think it's great to learn from some of the best in the business. It's great to learn from other people and to mirror some of the things you do after them, because it's what made them successful, right? But also don't be afraid to be authentic and to be yourself and to find your own path to where you want to go. Everyone's journey to where they want to go is going to be different. It's not going to be conventional. It's not going to be, there's no blueprint or script for it, right? So I think it's important to keep that in mind and know that you get to write your own story. And that's what I would encourage people. And the other thing is too, develop relationships, grow relationships, and be appreciative of all the people that are in your life and all the people that got you to where you are. I think it's sometimes so easy to get caught up in sort of the daily routine of what you do and kind of get consumed and self-absorbed in some way that what you do as a career. But, you know, don't allow your career to define who you are and to define the relationships and the people that you, you know, spend your time with and obviously devote your time to on a daily basis. You know, I think it's important to, you know, step outside that realm and just realize that, you know, there's so many players in your game of life and so many people and contributors, and to really kind of lean into those people as a support system when things get you down, and just to know that those relationships and the people that you talk to and the people that you build relationships with are going to be so important. And they're the people that can help you, obviously, you know, progress your career and obviously take that next step. And so I think it's just important to build and develop relationships, but also foster them and watch them grow.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Lauren. Again, this has been Lauren Sensler with ESPN, ACC Network, and AL.com. Lauren, I really do appreciate you taking your time to come out here and have a conversation with me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate you, too.